Welcome to the Kendi and Rabo podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Bar Sligo.
That it'll do anyway. It's not great, but it'll do. Fucking lice. I hate recording during the day, like in here.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. This room, I've been thinking about this more and more, lads. Yeah. Everyone out there in the podcast world, it's over. What, the box room is going to be done soon.
Is it?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. Yeah, okay. Me and Nicola are in the middle of a spring clean.
Yeah.
That I swear to God, like, it's so infuriating to be moving stuff around all the time. That's what we do every year.
That's just what you do.
We move stuff from one place into another place.
Yeah.
That we think that'll keep us going now for a while.
Would you not let go of some of the stuff?
No, I'm selling everything in here. Like.
Oh, great.
Yeah. No, everything is being sold. Because here's what else happens as well. And God bless Brendan's young lad, because he comes over to the house a couple of times a week. That gives me time to do stuff.
Yeah.
But I just do all my work at the kitchen table now with a laptop.
Okay.
Anything I have to do. So all this lovely setup you see here.
Oh, you have to bring it down to the kitchen.
It doesn't get used. I just bring one laptop down. All these screens that are in here for me to do work and make my life really easy.
Where do you play the computer games?
I can't play computer games anymore.
Are you sure?
Ray, I have fucking zero time to play computer games anymore.
I don't have any evidence to suggest that you are playing computer games, so I can't fight you on this.
I was saying to Nicola, I'm just going to bring the PlayStation down to the kitchen because the once or twice every month that I get to play it, I'll just do it down there.
You used to do it on the telly.
Huh? Yeah. I used to, yeah.
You remember like a normal person.
I know, but then I had this lovely haven that I built.
Yeah, little man cave upstairs.
But it's a waste time. Nicola's on about she wants to go move in beds. She's like, I wonder, can you stay in the attic? No, this has gone fucking too far. Do you know what I mean? There's a second baby on the way now. But like, we're moving stuff. She's like, what about stuff in this cupboard? I wonder if we put that in another cupboard. I'm like, it's still in the cupboard somewhere in the way. Like,
it's funny because when I went to the toilet just there before we started, I noticed that there was a collection of picture frames
in a sink. In a sink.
Yeah, I was like, that's an unusual place to have picture frames.
We have a bag of pictures in the sink. That's the other annoying thing as well with Ali is that like we only have an hour every so often that we can get stuff done, right?
Yeah.
So we called over little Luigi and said, take that child out of here for 40 minutes.
Okay.
Which he did.
So you do like a crack attack on the house.
And then we fight then in the kitchen. We take off our tops, the two of us.
Get it all out of here.
And we just get it all out.
Because you can't be fighting in front of the child.
No, you can't be fighting. Anyone out there who's fighting in front of the child, you know, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Tuzla
will
be
straight
you
in. Yeah, will you do it?
Have you ever threatened to call Tuzla on Nicola? No.
No.
You should try that.
Sorry, I'm going to call Tuzla. I go to call, like
the way you're talking to me in front of the child.
Yeah, well, actually, that's true, you know, because you're kind of on something there, because there's definitely stuff, like Ali said her first, oh shit, you know, when she fell over, and then Nicola blamed me, which is right.
Right,
you know,
yes, right, totally to correct, yeah.
But
she's on the ball there.
You do, like, they literally watch everything you do, so you do have to be careful what you say and do.
You can't, they're going to say, oh shit, at some point in their life.
But Nicola
as well
said something there, pure brave, because, like, we all just talk to each other normally.
Hmm.
Nicola said something there in, there was someone in the room that shouldn't have said it in front of, and I was like, Nick, be careful, and she was like, oh, Jesus, yeah, you're right. We can't talk normal around little people. Like,
I suppose, yeah.
You cannot. They grip onto everything.
But they will eventually say these things.
Yeah, but you can't be the one to blame. No, you can't be the one to blame on that. Like,
yeah.
And yet there's definitely, we have set up social etiquettes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't say shit and bollocks.
They
said it on Big Brother. You're live on Channel 4. Don't say fuck or bollocks.
Yeah.
You know? Davina McKenzie said it. But anyway, let's get back to the whole. All this is going to be gone.
Right.
We need to find a new hub.
New hub for the podcast.
There's no. And Nicola said, what are you going to do with all your gear? And I said, I'll just sell it. Like.
All right. You're selling the gear now.
So I've already sold a load of guitars.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. But don't sell the podcast stuff.
No. That'll be
like
brought
to we kind of half else. Own that.
No, but screens, all that stuff is going to be all gone.
Oh, we don't need them anyway.
No. Oh, yeah. We don't. Sorry. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
6 years, Brendan. We've been doing it in here. And he's going, but sure, it doesn't matter. We didn't need to do it in here anyway. What's the matter?
No.
Not a word of it.
No, thanks.
Mark, you're joking.
Thanks.
What
Sorry.
An unbelievable
Sorry.
Sacrifice you made in Sorry. Your family home.
Sorry, Mark. Truth be told, it's me being me again.
You're
I'm
going,
not,
oh, right,
I'm
that's grand, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm not being supportive.
But the truth is, maybe the ATU is the place to do it. Do you know?
For the moment, yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But we have until September before all shit hits the fan in this house.
So how
again.
Long have we got left here in the box? Because it will be a sad day when we leave the box room.
You're talking the far side of 10 episode, I'd say.
Okay.
The near side of 10
so
episodes.
So this is good to notify listeners. You might as well enjoy the next 10 episodes. Because
it's all going to change
It's all going
then.
To change and go downhill
And
after
it'll
that.
Be shite then after yeah, that. Not crack. In the box room. The two boys not even in the box room.
They've changed.
Them two boys couldn't even get a box room now.
Isn't it a sign of the housing crisis when, like, that's what's happened?
Well, it's a sign of the head on me too, because in the middle of a housing crisis, a self-employed musician and videographer, right? I mean, I've said it here before, beggars can't be kindies.
No.
I probably can't even get a mortgage. But when I'm looking at houses on Daft, I'm going, it has to be a 4-bed now because I need a room.
You do need a room.
I couldn't even buy a trailer.
Yeah.
Like, not a mind a house. And I'm going, I better get a 4-bed though, Nick, in truth now, you know?
We're now looking at another house. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry, I was rubbing that in. But we're looking at another house. And there is no room for me in the house.
But that's perfect. Laura,
it's a 3-bed house, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the rooms will be dedicated to me and Laura sleeping in it. Another room will be dedicated to Laura. Is her extension of her room, where she goes to, you know,
her wardrobe,
and then there'll be a third room, which will be the guest room.
Sean's
room, and then that's it. So there's no room for me, and I need a room. I want a room for my space, my things, my man cave.
Yeah.
So I'm already looking at steel tech sheds that I can put out the back.
Oh, brilliant! Well, I know a guy. I know a fella.
Oh, the very close sheds. To
us. No, that got an office shed out the back of his house. Mm. Now I haven't seen inside it.
Now could we go and record there?
Huh? I didn't say who it was.
I just asked, could we record?
That's not illegal, Brendan, is it? That thing that our friend has. No,
planning permission.
No. Oh, no, okay. Brendan has a fucking office on.
There's nothing illegal about it.
No, I didn't know. With planning permission, did he just fire it up? Like, it's four stories.
You can be guaranteed the people of Cartram would be the first to tell you if it was something illegal about it.
Yeah, but I have said that to Nicola. If we buy the 3-bed, sure, I'll get one of those.
You get a little shed in the
back. Get them for about 12 grand. I don't know how much he paid for. His one's shite now.
Shite.
His one's made out of old paper, old bits of old drywall. Yeah, old shite, man. All waste time, man.
He bought 97,000 boxes of Lego.
Yeah, the big angry wolf would have it down in no time. We went blowing. No, I think they're class. Like, now, I don't know how much. Do you spend a lot of time in it, Brendan?
Yeah.
You do a lot of work in it?
Yeah. He escapes from the house. That's what all men need.
Yeah, all men need
somewhere
escape.
To get out, and and you don't have it at the minute. No. Well, you do, but they're taking it away from you.
Yeah, they're taking it. Yeah. No, they're not taking it away from me. I'm making the decision.
Oh.
It's me that's making the decision, but in this round, I'm the man of the house, okay? Nicola has been working stuff out in her, what they call it, girl math or whatever.
Girl math.
Different stuff. Yep. She's been working stuff out in her head, a house math, girl house math, right? How to work this thing out.
Yeah.
And I've been saying to her, Nick, stop beating around the kindy.
I'll just
get rid of everything that's in the
room. What are you going to put in here?
Well, probably like a bed. That's
this other child is coming.
Well, just in general, even space. There's no wardrobe space or anything for anyone. Like,
how many t-shirts do you really need, though?
Ray, there's another bag. Do you not walk by the bag in the way into the house?
I know, but I'm thinking about this myself now at the moment. I have a big wardrobe of clothes at home.
Yeah.
And I need to downsize it.
Yeah.
You should be able to live out of a suitcase.
Yeah.
That should be enough.
Yeah, but don't, though.
But
don't
and in fairness, when I look at what I wear on a weekly basis, I'm down to my last jean at the moment. That is not to say that I don't have more than one pair of jeans.
I was going to say, man, that's definitely the last jean.
I have about four jeans in the house, right? Yeah. Two of which I'd never wear.
Yeah.
Because I bought them, and you know the way you'd buy jeans and go, I don't like it in the end, and you're too embarrassed to bring it back, or it went on too long.
No,
There's a third jean, and they have a hole in the crotch, and I'm waiting to get them repaired.
Would you not just buy a new jean?
I did look, but it's hard to find a new jean that fits you and that you like. Because clearly, I made two mistakes already, and they're sitting in the drawer.
Ray, if the gunt has gone out of them.
I know, but it's just they get such pressure. But anyway.
It's awful for waiting.
It's awful waiting, that gunt. But I've only now one jean. I have six Jack and Joan black t-shirts of all of the same type and brand and size.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I have approximately three hoodies.
Yeah.
And I have a pair of underpants and socks for a 14-day period.
And he hand washes
and
them in the sink.
And after 14 days, I've run out. So after 2 weeks, that's it. You have to do a wash.
Yeah, what Ray's trying to tell you all there, ladies and gentlemen, is he wears the same jocks for 2 weeks.
No, I'm fond of a Dunn's boxer.
Right.
And I was going out buying some new boxers to try and replenish the stock to get me over the 2-week mark.
Yeah.
And I found that Laura was suggesting I get a Levi or a Jack and Jones boxer. Not a Dunn's boxer.
Hang on, has she 55 pounds?
That's what I 11 was going fibers. To say. I went looking at them on Sunday, they're 55 pounds.
The price of jocks, lads, is a thunder and disgrace.
What's the difference?
When you think about it, do you know what I mean? Like, there's women out there, loads of them. I know some of them as well.
Yeah.
There's women out there and they're calling for free sanitary products all over the country.
That's been done.
It's been done.
Yeah. You get them.
And then fellas have to go out and buy jack. They can buy little tongs, right? Little tiny baby tongs. They're about 99 cents.
Bits of string.
When we buy a boxer, you want to buy a 5-pack, right? It's about £60 for them.
It's terrible.
I went on to ASOS, and I wouldn't mind, but ASOS sizes are all over the place, because yes. I bought a 5-pair boxer off ASOS. Looked like a hefty pair now. I said, that'll do now.
That'll do.
They're the ASOS brand, so that's the cheap, that's the own brand, budget ones.
And
they're
how
about,
much did
they were about 9 fiver for 5 of them, right? And I got them here, and they wouldn't fit a little. They were fucking. I got them in a medium.
You see, you're not.
And I said to ASOS, "No, I am a medium."
Would that tuckus?
I'm a medium.
You're not.
It's not. It was nothing to do with tuckus.
The tuckus is a huge part.
It wasn't. It was putting awful pressure on the gunt.
On the gunt.
Oh man, the gunt was under awful pressure.
Yeah, okay.
Jesus.
So you're allowed.
You know when you take off a jock after a day, but your body shape doesn't change.
You can see the track of the jock on your body.
It's still indented, and the belly is hanging out over nothing still because it's got muscle memory.
You've been abused by a jock.
Yeah, I got abused by a jock.
It has left its mark on you.
Yeah, it actually has, Ray.
Anyway. Yeah, anyway, the debate was had, and I said, look at Darlin, you're the only one looking at it, I'm buying the Dunn's ones.
Yeah.
And you get over it.
Yeah, I buy all black as well, I wouldn't take the risk. I do see boys go around in white jocks sometimes, I'm going,
no.
She's your risk taker.
The worst I'll go is maybe a dark grey.
No, I would, no, not even the dark grey. I won't even wear grey t-shirts or anything.
That's
like
true,
that.
Because,
because of the reasons that might happen.
There are reasons that might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm throwing stuff out now.
Okay.
There's something else that happens when you become a father.
That's a real spring clean. Sean O'Reilly's doing that as well. He has bags and bags of clothes now going for the charity shop.
But we do a spruce spring clean, not even just in the spring.
Yeah.
You know, every time one of those yokes comes through the door.
What is that joke I seen outside?
It says, there's trouble all over the world. You should give away your clothes.
It's a bag, isn't
it? I don't know why. I mean, it could be anything like...
How come we don't
Do you feel bad for blind dogs? Yeah. You better give away your clothes. You're like, what? How is that going to help? I know, they're obviously brilliant causes.
But Deborah, how come we don't get them?
Do you not get them?
No, are we like a poor street or something?
Kind of. Kind
you don't
of.
Want that type of
The
clothes.
Bags of clothes go to where you live. They come up to all the fancy. They go out to all the fancy estates on the outskirts of Sligo to give all the inner townies it ends up on your street.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, you're wearing my jocks.
Go back to what you said about not being able to just live out of a suitcase.
No, like that's too much. That's too much of an extreme.
Why?
Maybe because now there is some people I know who do the whole I'm going to have like 4 outfits.
I'm going to have very little of anything.
And everything will go with everything.
Yeah.
And then not only does it not take up space in my house, but it doesn't take up space in my mind.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you can wake up every day and it doesn't matter what pants and top you put on, they go together.
Yeah.
And you've got about 4 outfits.
The way I run my socks, all my socks are black socks from Dunn's.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what way you pair them up out of the wash, they're all going to work together. Apart from when they've got a hole in it.
I only wear black socks. Like, no, sorry, I wear white socks during the day.
What?
Yeah, look, white socks.
I see it.
Yeah, I wear a white sock every day and then a black sock at night.
You tell me you change your sock on a daily basis.
I wear two pairs of socks every day.
So what time of the evening do you normally change your sock?
So...
Oh no, this is mad stuff.
Let's see if this makes sense now, actually. So I will put on a white sock every morning.
By default.
As you can see.
Ah, beautiful white sock.
Then I will finish with my daily doings.
Yes.
I'll have my daughter in the bed.
Yeah.
And I'll be going, my day's not even over. I have to go and work tonight.
So it's work, Kendi, then.
And I shower, which resets my brain to thinking that the day is not over.
Yeah.
Nicola's like...
Do you shower in the morning?
No, I shower after I put her to bed because it helps my brain. When you put a child to bed... Something happens in your mind and you go, oh, lovely. That's that day done now. Shit. But my day's not done.
No,
I have about 5 hours left.
Just go to work.
I have to go. So what I do is I shower, which makes me think that the day has restarted.
Yeah, I get you.
Which I don't wear me socks in the shower. Put on a new
black
sock. Then I get into the bed.
Yeah.
At about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I get in with the socks on.
Why?
Because it's brilliant.
What?
There's nothing better than taking your socks off in the bed.
Oh, okay. So you are beautiful. Taking them off.
Yeah.
And then, I would sit at the edge of the bed and take the socks off.
No, I have to get into the bed and then I take them off.
So you have to bend down and stuff.
And then I lay them bundled up at the bottom of the bed. And
bundled?
Then about twice a week then Nicola does a clear out.
To wash your socks.
She wakes up every so often. She'll wake up in the morning and she'll say, how many surprises are there?
Oh,
and
no.
I'll say, you should find 6.
Jesus.
That's. I wish I was joking when I say that.
She asks that.
That really happened. She says, "Where? How many surprises?" Because she needs to know how many socks have been left.
Are you not totally embarrassed at the fact that there's another human being responsible for your laundry?
No. So, no, because we all... I mean, is Nicola not totally embarrassed that there's another human being completely responsible for, like, what do I do again? Not much.
Love the realisation there. The things were way...
What am I responsible for? Fuck all, really, to tell you the truth.
That's a fascinating insight into your sock culture.
I mean, not to belittle it, like, but, you know, there is a trend, definitely amongst Irish people, for sure, Irish men, that we oh fuck me, it's true, I think it's true, we marry to replace our mother.
Don't say that now, that's too close to home there. that's a conversation that's been had on multiple occasions.
But we do though.
You do marry your mother.
Irish men marry not, they don't marry their mother, they marry to replace their mother.
Have you the qualifications that my mother has? If so, you're in.
If I have a little boo-boo on my leg, are you going to say, like, oh, that's a big part of this?
Did your mother used to ask you when you get up in the morning, how many surprises have you left me? Remember?
But like, no, it is funny though. We do, I think we definitely do. And I think we find it hard then. There's a mentality change, especially in the modern man.
Modern man.
With the two-salary family.
Yeah.
Do you know? Women are out there working their little hearts out now. It's gorgeous.
And you have to do a bit.
It's beautiful. It's cute to see. Like, you know.
They're great for them.
Oh, it's great for them to get a little hobby or something, you know. No. What I mean is I'm doing a lot more work then that we'd say my father wouldn't have done. Well, actually, my father did do a good bit of it, in fairness, because he was at home as well. But a lot of fathers wouldn't have done, we'll say. Yeah, they would have been out making the bread.
Like a pound.
Breadwinners.
Mm.
And then so I replaced my old one with a woman who looks after me.
Right.
And now I have the responsibility in the last 18 months has gone through the roof for the stuff that I have to do.
For the next generation.
And there is times when you find that hard. I definitely, even if Nicola's at work, working, if I panic at home with anything, I might just get overwhelmed because Ali cried for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I will ring her to reset me head.
Right.
She'll go, geez, that's awful, the poor devil.
Yeah.
And I'll go, it is. Am I doing well? And she'll say, you are, you're a good boy.
Yeah, you're a good boy.
And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to mind our child again.
Okay.
And then that happens, like, you know? Because I don't think I'll never have the maternal instincts.
No, we don't. Sorry, we're not born with them.
Oh, fuck. I'm a tits of sort. No, I'm joking. No, it's an interesting dynamic that happens.
Could I ask you a related question?
Yeah.
Would you ever start the day with a black sock?
Oh, Jesus, Ray. Don't be trying to change everything in my life.
I'm just asking.
This is too much.
The compulsion ever come on you?
No, no, of course. The odd time I would like. But I like to save the good socks for the nighttime gigs.
Because equally, I mean, I start with a black sock in the morning. And if I have a shower in the evening, I would also shower in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the start of my work day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to reset my head from the sleeping I was just doing.
Yeah.
So I get up and I put on a black sock. If I have a shower in the evening, then if we're going out for a fancy meal and I thought a second shower, or if perhaps I got a haircut, which is very controversial.
You have to change your socks after a haircut, yeah.
No.
What the fuck does that mean?
Do you not shower after a haircut?
No, I would, because I get my haircut during the day, but I wouldn't shower straight after it. Like, no.
Yeah, but you can't go to bed that night without having showered off.
No.
It's just rank.
The itchiness.
I believe there's men out there that actually willy-nilly go in for unplanned haircuts.
Yeah, but these
and then proceed with their day.
Yeah, but these are the kind of people. Don't be worried about the uninvested migrants. These are the people we should be worried about. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're wondering about psycho fellas, it's the fellas who go to bed without washing after a haircut.
I sometimes look around at gigs at fellas walking around with tidy looking haircuts, and I'm going, I bet you he got that today and hasn't washed.
Yeah, no,
yeah. It's still done the way the barber did it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you do it. No, I mean, it's just you can't go to bed with it with the big itchy head on.
No. Oh, you can't. Or
you have to change your t-shirt as well. All that kind of crack.
I have a whole outfit for the barber.
Yeah, you have a barber's outfit.
I have a barber's jumper, I have a barber's jacket, and I have a barber's t-shirt.
Yeah. And a barber's sock.
The sock, like I said, it is not impacted. But
put on the same sock after a shower?
It depends on how long the sock has been on my foot.
Okay, you're the kind of people we should be looking out for. That's disgraceful.
If I wore the sock for 3 or 4 hours in the morning and I went out and then I came back and had to shower because I'd got my hair cut, I would put the same sock back on again.
That's disgraceful.
Because I felt it had not been run in.
No,
but there's low mileage in that sock.
I think that's nuts. You know, we're coming into summertime now. Is this whole episode going to be about socks?
No, I've loads of stuff to get to.
We're coming into summertime. Would you wear an ankle sock?
Yes, I would.
What they call a cock sock. A pop sock.
I would. A cock sock.
A cock pop.
A cock pop.
Would you wear one of those?
I would, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So would
with
I,
a short, obviously.
Yeah, with a short, yeah.
Not with
sure.
a trouser.
Ah, them days of 10 years ago where you'd be going around with no socks and they're gone. They're gone now. Fellas, wear the socks.
Did you like the way that I started the episode without the phone in my hand? Was that less ignorant this time around?
I didn't even notice.
And there you go.
Just shows you, mate.
Yeah, but you probably started in better humour.
The one... Mate, do I seem like it?
Yeah, you did.
I have been aware of that lately. I'll let you get on to your stuff as well. I am aware of... you know, like when you put content out online and then everyone sees it, like...
Yeah.
Like, I think I listened back to last week's episode. Was it last week's or the week's before? It doesn't matter. I did find myself going, geez, I wouldn't like you either, Kendi, really.
That's not great.
No, it's not. No, but not like in a real introspective way. Yeah. I was just kind of going, like, you are very annoying now, honest. Yeah. Like,
what,
you know?
Did you think about me?
No, you come across really well because No, that's true though, because you're real calm and collected, like, and you don't lose the head about stupid stuff.
Yeah, but I like when you lose the head.
No, but obviously you do, because then that means that it gets loads of likes on TikTok.
Let's try and make but you that, lose the head now.
Sorry, the people that give the likes on TikTok don't like me, though.
No, but that's the whole point.
That's not the point, because my mental health's going to deteriorate into nothing.
No. Never mind.
How is that the point, like?
Come on, resilience.
Come here, Mark. We need you to be a prick.
We need you to be hated by everybody.
Yeah, but I can't. No, I'm a little bit more self-aware that I'm not very likable. So I have to be very careful of that lately now.
Right.
I'm not going to call everyone a bollocks. Like, you
are
know?
You ready for some questions and so on your...
Likeability.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, come on.
But I had a thing lined up that I actually... It ties in as well to what you were saying about having the daughter and the changes in your life and whatnot.
Yeah.
I want to run a situation by you.
Brilliant. Just close my eyes.
What?
Where should I put my feet?
No. Exactly where you are.
Okay.
Right.
Just the perfect stance.
So, if you had to leave your daughter...
I fucking had.
Right. Ali.
Yeah.
In the forest. So think of a big, deep, dark forest. Right, that's well away from the town.
This is breaking my heart already. Okay. I don't like it.
And there's no, it's not a forestry now, which is nicely fenced. It's a wild forest.
Okay.
Right? Full of animals. But if you had to leave your child, Ali, in a forest with either a man that you don't know, so a random man, or a bear, which would you choose?
Are you shitting me?
So you have no choice. You have to go, you have a choice. It's A or B. It's man or bear. Which would you...
I'll tell you my answer in a second, right? Did you ever see the Savage Eye sketch where your wand is like, oh, I'd bring me mother to hospital. It's an emergency. Will someone mind me baby? And a junkie walks up and goes, oh, you'll mind your baby. And then a Catholic priest walks up and says, I can mind... And she gives it to the junkie.
That's, you know, very good, but an awful indictment of society. But yeah, very good.
No, it's an awful indictment of the history of a certain collection of people.
The reliability.
That's just, can I just say another thing as well before I answer your question?
Yeah. You're stalling now to think.
All these flutes online, right? Not flutes, people. I mean, straight away, I'm so unlikable already. Anyway. All these people online who are like... like, nostalgia's a bastard, by the way. All these people online were like, oh, bring back the good old days. I remember the 60s in Ireland. You could let your kids out and they could play around and everything was green and it was all brilliant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, the 60s, what about mother and baby homes, you bastards? Or what about fucking, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Nostalgia is a bastard of a thing. You can always look back and go, I remember the good old days. But where are they, though?
Rose-coloured glasses.
People used to get the shit bit out of them in school, like, rose-tinted glasses. Yeah. So... stop sharing stuff going, Ireland was great back in the day and now it's in shit. Like, it was always in shit. It's in shit. The world is in shit all the time.
Man or bear?
Oh, a man. Obviously a man, Ray.
So you're happy enough leaving
anyone,
with a man.
Anyone who answers a bear is missing the point.
But are you happy enough with the man, minding Ali?
I don't know who the man is.
But you're okay with it, are you?
I'm more okay with a man minding Ali than a bear.
Didn't really think you were going to come that way there now.
You thought I would pick a bear.
No, not that you'd pick the bear.
You thought I would pick a bear to look after me daughter.
No, but I thought you were going to say, look, I leave Ali with the man, but I will be afraid leaving Ali.
You
with
gave
the man.
Me two choices, I did, leave her with a man or a bear.
But you didn't say anything about being afraid of leaving with the man. You were quite happy. It's like, geez, fair play to him for taking her.
Okay. No. First of all, you're on about Tusla. Don't leave your child in a woods with anything, anyone. Bring your child into a deep, dark woods with no fences.
This is something that was done on TikTok. Okay. And when people were asked about it, most fathers went with, yes, I will leave the child with the man, obviously, not the bear.
Yeah.
But then I think a follow-up question came then. Well, how do you feel about leaving the child with the man? Well, I'm not really happy about it. I'm quite yeah. fearful of leaving my child, my yeah. daughter,
yeah.
with this strange man.
Yeah.
And then apparently that was a way of making men understand patriarchal privilege, which is as... Some people out there might know what that is.
Okay.
I'm still struggling, but I think it's something along the lines of how women feel. You yeah. know, when they're walking home and there is, you know, a strange man walking behind them, and
yeah.
the fear they feel of that strange man,
yeah.
that it basically gives a father of a daughter like that, it gives you yeah, an yeah. insight into that fear that they feel.
I completely understand that.
Yes, good,
that's
great.
Such a good point.
I'm glad
as well.
You do. Cause
and,
I...
No, and here's the other point on that as well, by the way.
Yeah.
The fear works across both genders, but not... And what I mean by that is, like, I have been chased plenty of times by, okay. by people trying to kick it, the shit out of me.
Against that took us.
But... no, but they were men.
Yeah.
So, that violent tendency, obviously some women have it, but
the majority,
there's no point
fellas.
in yeah. sugarcoating that. Yeah. We're afraid of fellas who have us.
Yeah.
And there's too many fellas who have us who are yeah. fucking idiots, who are mm-hmm. pricks, terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been afraid of them too, so I can't imagine how a woman feels yeah. like with it. I get that completely. Like,
it was an awful incident last night in our house. I was at home in Mayo.
Okay.
And young Laura was left in the house minding it, right? And Sean was coming home, but okay. he wasn't home yet. And a gentleman arrived on the street downstairs. He had a bottle of Northern Irish Buckfast. Now, if anyone knows the English...
How would you know it was Northern Irish Buckfast?
They're different coloured bottles. It's a green Buckfast.
So Law rings you, rates the fell outside. It's a bottle of Buckfast. Irish or Northern Irish. I need to know, Laura.
No. Irish or Northern Laura.
Open
the
door,
woman. Ask him.
Think.
Open the window and ask him. Because if it's the Irish one, you're okay. Yeah. He's probably harmless and he's Christ just singing somebody. And enjoying himself.
You heard but it here first. Ray hates Northern Irish people are dangerous.
No, it's not. Apparently the Northern Irish Buckfast is a different calibre. Anyway,
right.
She, fair play to her. Now, she managed all this on her own. This happened around 11 o'clock. Your man landed up on the street with his Northern Ireland bottle of Bucky, and he was singing and shouting and roaring, and my Laura was in the bed going, I'm not going to get any sleep with this. She peeked out the window to see what was happening. He had decided to take the traffic cones that were along the street for the construction across the road and place them in an obstacle course type community games experience for the traffic that was coming up the street. And he sat down on a windowsill, singing and roaring, and was out waiting for traffic to come. Now, obviously, Laura wasn't going to go to sleep. She kept a keen eye on the situation as it evolved.
Yeah. That's the thing about living in town, man.
And she also decided, I'm going to ring the guards, because we're only down the road, and I don't want a car to come down. A family, we'll say.
Yeah.
Or a mother bringing her daughter home from a disco.
Yeah.
Anything like this could have happened.
Yeah, because it could have been 1996.
And
you're right, Ray.
This
daughter
gauntlet,
home from a disco.
This gauntlet had been thrown down by this merry gentleman with his Northern Bucky. And... Yeah. And Laura didn't want anything bad happening. The guards never came. But neither did any traffic. So he was raging that nothing came to tackle his thing. So he then left the scene. And Laura very bravely put her jacket on and restored the cones to where they once were.
How is that okay? How did the guards not walk around the corner?
They just didn't do it. It's stupid. But anyway... Then
no, that is...
He came back then and realised someone had put his cones away. And he took them back out again and rearranged them in the same community games rearrangement.
Hang on now. Laura could have been out when he came back.
I know. She was very brave going out doing it.
Yeah, and the guards around the corner wouldn't come out
So when she did it again, she rang them again. They still didn't come. But then Sean got home and he and Laura then scared the man off and they put the cones back.
How did they scare him off?
Well, I don't know. I think he might have left.
Sean threatened to chat. How are we going? He said, oh, fucking Calvin. Calvin.
Have you any bit of book he left there now? Really, what's up with that?
That is, I can't believe.
But then Laura couldn't sleep.
I can't believe that.
Because she felt guilty. Because if the guards did eventually come out, they would have found the cones were exactly where they should have been. And
yeah,
she would have been to blame for a false call out.
Because they were late.
Yeah.
Coming down the road.
But
that's why.
To believe.
Huh?
Could have been just crazy old Laura up in number.
Maybe she put the cones out.
Anyway.
You, oh, because how do you know it was Northern Irish Bookie? She was like, oh, I chucked the bottle inside. She because drank Northern Irish Bookie, put a cones outside. Very funny.
This morning, she rang me when I was down in Mayo. I got up and she told me all about this. And she said that she had taken a photo of the bottle for in case the guards did call for evidence.
She was drinking Northern Irish Bookie out of it, running around naked outside, so putting out cones.
So obviously I seen the bottle, but then I went down to my mother, who was making the breakfast in my home house.
Replace your mother,
I said to my mother, Carmel, I said, you never guess. I said, last night, up in Sligo, she said, what? What happened? A drunken idiot. Laura was, she said. I said, no. No, Laura wasn't.
I think she probably was. Yeah. Do you know what
I have another thing to test your...
Oh, savage.
Your insights.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So don't make me be a prick now again. No.
This is good. Now this is good. Yeah. Make you think, and for everyone at home as well, make you think as well.
Lovely.
Have you ever heard of a lady called Philippa Foot?
And I've nothing to say about her either.
Good.
Yeah.
Philippa Foot, back in the '60s, I believe, came up with a thing called the trolley problem. Right, and that is not a reference to a local DJ here in Sligo.
Right? It's not a trolley problem in Sligo.
For those of you who know, we have a DJ called Trolley.
Yeah.
This is not about him.
Nothing to do with it.
They call the trolley, it's actually a little train. It's a kind of a, you know, a smaller size train. I don't know why the problem is centered around a smaller size train and why they didn't just go with a normal train.
Okay.
Right? You're driving the trolley / train.
Yeah.
And it's going down the tracks.
Tis.
And you realise that the brakes are gone.
Right.
And up ahead you see five lads, workmen on the train line, sitting there eating their sandwiches.
What the fuck is going on, Brendan? Why is he bringing me all these death scenarios?
All the Brendan's bits he's got.
Oh my God. Come on.
This really perked my interest today.
Come on.
So you see the five lads eating their sandwiches, and for some strange reason, they can't see or hear you coming.
Right.
So you know, because you've no brakes, that you're going to kill them all.
Okay.
All five of them, you're going to kill them.
Right.
You've one thing, though, that you can do. There's a lever that's still working on the trolley / train, and you can pull that, and that will change the train off the tracks that you're on, and it will go on to a different track, avoiding the five lads eating the sandwiches.
That's what I'll do. Okay, any more bits?
But there's one person on that track that will die as a result. So,
oh my God.
The question, the Philippa Foot thing is, basically the trolley problem, the whole premise of it is, do you let things just happen the way they're happening and just happen to be a part of it and witness the five lads getting killed? Or do you actively change the course of the trolley's trajectory and then you are essentially...
Yeah, but then you're talking about Final Destination then. Them boys then are out eating fucking the salad. It starts choking. You know that? You know what Final Destination? Yeah. If you avoid inevitable death, death will still come for you.
Yeah, true.
So but you're there, so you're nearly dead. All of a sudden then you're driving a car and you're like, oh, there's a sweetie on the ground. You start choking and you're, you know? But they're films.
So would you go for the five, or would you try and save the five and kill the one?
I would try and save the five and kill the one.
But then you're responsible for that one dying.
Yeah,
it's your decision that caused that.
I know, but I'm a selfish bastard.
Okay. That's good. I like
no,
it.
No, but let me explain more. George is fuck. George is like, lovely. Mark decided to kill someone now. The conscience that is involved with five grieving families, Ray.
Yeah, you were doing the right thing.
I'm going, there's only one. And actually, I know the fella that was on the other side of the track as well.
Okay.
Not all that great, Ray.
Right. Was that it a junkie fella minding a baby?
No, what none to do. No. He was the kind of fella who clears his throat in public loads and like spits on the ground.
Is that bothering you?
You know that when you're like, oh, fucking hell, like, you know? There's an awful influx in Sligo of young lads in their 19, 20s, 21s walking far too fast with their arms out and going...
Where do you think this influx is coming from?
Definitely think they have no manners.
80% of it is coming from Northern Ireland.
COVID. Yeah. Stop it, mate, because there's stuff coming from Northern Ireland. You know,
can't talk about that because it's government related.
Well, you fucking said it. You just
know,
said it's all
but I just laughed. I just laughed a lot about it.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Did you know you were saying that? No. Doesn't matter.
I have more things to talk about.
Yeah.
Very quickly. I went into a clothes shop in Dublin on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was looking for the boxes. I was also looking for a new jean.
Okay.
The clothes shop in Dublin. I will not say where it is because you've taught me well now. Don't say,
no,
you know, that you're in Liffey Valley and you were in a man's clothes shop.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Don't say things like
Jesus Christ.
But I was, you know, don't say things like that.
Yeah.
But I was in a Dublin clothes shop at the weekend. And let's just call it the Dublin EJs. So everybody here in Sligo is familiar with EJs.
Yeah.
And EJ's is a house full of very obliging fellas that are only happy to try and make you that little bit more stylish.
Yes.
Do you know?
They'll cover your head to one fire.
The Dublin EJ's isn't as fun.
No.
No.
No, no. So they don't have it.
I asked him about the three jeans. He was happy enough to give me three pairs to go in and try on. Yeah. I tried them on. One of them didn't fit. One of them was too big. And one of them was blue. And blue doesn't go with black. And I can't buy a blue pair of jeans. I mean, it was only a waste of my time trying it on in the first place.
I bought a blue pair of jeans there a while ago.
Yeah, but you've got different colour clothes. All I've got is six Jack and Jones t-shirts and they're all black.
You can wear black with blue,
no,
by the way.
You can't. That Laura says you can't, so I can't.
No, so anyway, Laura says you can't.
Anyway, when I came out of the changing room with these three jeans and I said to your man, I'm sorry, but they're just not for me. He didn't even look at me. He took the jeans back off me. He didn't look at me and he said, fine.
Yeah.
And I felt like muck.
Yeah, do you know what that is now? Pure, I mean, you'd swear your man is working on commission, like maybe he is or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're, so the retail, it can't be that.
No.
Because it's not genuine.
He started.
If you walk into EJ's, you could try on 50 shirts and the boys will go, Kendi, how's that going for you? No, not into it. All right, okay. The retail can't, you can't just be nice for the sake of money because people see right through that, which is exactly what you did. So your man is going, he saw you coming in with the big euro sign on your face.
Yeah.
Right? Tattooed on your forehead.
Yeah.
He said, here's this buff now coming down. He's going to buy a load of stuff. Yeah. This Mayo man. I'm going to be really nice to him because he's going to buy a big load of stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you didn't, then he treats you like a dirty, scummy buff again.
He did.
Do you know?
It was terrible.
Because he's going, well, if you're not buying that, then why would I maintain any kind of social etiquette?
But at least in ages, they will still think...
Yeah, because they're nice people.
They're lovely people.
They're nice people, that's the difference. Yeah. They're not just in there to sell you shit.
And they were doing the whole Dublin thing as well, going, oh, it definitely was Pamela Anderson. No way.
She actually worked on Baywatch for years. I thought myself and Phil Lennett and Bruce Shields were the house band on Baywatch.
I didn't even talk to her. I left her alone because she was doing her own thing, but I'm sure it was Pamela Anderson. You could tell by looking at her.
No way. I saw those cans before. Myself and Phil Lennett and Brush.
I was in Dublin at the weekend.
Yeah.
We seen a huge international monumental act. Derek Gorham.
Oh!
And Jar up in the Badass Cafe. We also seen Dave Matthews in the Three Arena.
Yeah.
But mainly, by the way, I really enjoyed your post about the Atlantic on Saturday night.
You
said Ray is not here. He chose Dave Matthews over.
Well, that's true.
Over a gig. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Also, the band never sounded better.
Thank you.
No, it didn't. No, no. We did a 4-piece Atlantic gig. Like, I just said, come on, let's go gig in Lily's.
Yeah.
And we did it. I played bass and we left out the acoustic.
Yeah. Luke gave me a lovely compliment, by the way.
He said it wasn't the same.
You'd missed the acoustic. And I said, you mean by default me?
Yeah. I love the way he didn't say it to you. You'd miss you on the bass. No. We just missed Mark on the guitar.
I missed Mark now on the acoustic now. Yeah. Which means if I was there, it would have been great.
Yeah, no, it is true though. It did. It was missing the bit of arse in the middle of it with the acoustic.
And it took us.
Glues it all together, you know?
Yeah, Dave Matthews is marvellous though. Yeah. I have to say.
Well, the thing about Dave Matthews is it's full of fucking reefer heads.
Well, let me talk about the crowd.
I really love what he did with the 7-8 bridge. No.
Laura was first time experiencing the Dave Matthews thing. First of all, she said she felt like she'd gone back in time.
Yeah.
Because not one of the few 100,000 people that was in the Three Arena.
Oh,
right?
There was about 600,000 that was in the Three Arena.
Not one of them was watching the gig through the phone. She said it was really weird. They were all really respectful. They're all standing there. No one's spilling drink.
No.
And nobody was watching the gig through the phone. She said it was mad.
Yeah. No, it is in the great to see though. Because you have people giving out about the electric picnic. Right.
Get that for a second.
There's people giving out about the electric picnic and the state of the acts that are on it. But
I don't think it's bad.
No, it is bad, yeah.
Why? But what do you know about it?
It was always, that's what I'm saying, it was always going to be bad. I don't know what you expect. Unless you book Taylor Swift, it's not going to be very good. Yeah, but Kylie Minogue, I mean...
I don't know how they have Faithless. I thought your man had died.
No...
I don't know how they can do. That's like Elvis being advertised to play.
Well,
and
is
it's
it
been
either
the
though,
band
like,
without Elvis?
Yeah, but band, you're stretching it there.
But
now,
Faithless
like,
was the lad that can't get no sleep.
Yeah, he can't get no sleep,
and that's probably what killed him.
No, but
end.
I mean, in the end, in truth, like it's two CD players like up on the stage.
You'd miss the band that can't get no sleep.
What I was getting at is that there's a different clientele that goes to that kind of gig. I don't think there's anyone out there gigging now for any young people that have that kind of vibe of let's sit here and enjoy this and watch and maybe Taylor Swift does.
No, Chasen Abbey.
Chasen Abbey, even a Chasen Abbey gig gets a little bit kind of like,
oh, they do get rowdy.
The boys do rowdy it up.
Yeah,
like,
they do
you know?
Rowdy it up.
So there's not a lot of that.
The Wolf Tones, they do it as well.
If the Wolf Tones did it, man, they'd be fucking hell, like there'd be a war. So there's not that many Dave Matthews gigs where like I said, Dave Matthews is old school stoners
yeah.
who like to talk about the middle eights of the
songs.
That's
right, and it was.
Oh my God, wait and you hear what the violin does in the middle eight here.
And
really,
I was a bit upset about it. I like Dave Matthews, but there was far too much fiddling going on. As in, songs were played.
He loves the fiddler.
He does, I know, but there was multiple solos from people. You're yeah. kind of going, there is no way that second trumpet solo
it's
that you're playing
gig.
Is going
gig.
To be any better than the first one.
It's
I'm not going to be any more surprised.
Ray, I'm telling you, it's a jazz gig. If you go, I love jazz, by the way, there's some of the best musicians in the world are jazz yeah. musicians. Every single jazz song, every member in the band gets to play a solo for every song.
I know, that's what happens.
And every time you have to get up, you have yeah. to clap every solo. Like.
It needs so much reassurance.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the bass, like every yeah. time, like every song. And Dave Matthews is the same. He's like on the fiddle, Mario Melquiat. Away we go.
Come on, Mario.
He looks like Mario Melquiat, Brendan, but if that's what you're, he's the only one who get that.
I thought you'd made up that name.
Is he still there, your man with the dreadlocks, the black
no,
gentleman
he's gone.
With the dreadlocks. He's not the fiddle player anymore.
No.
Oh, Mario Melchior's gone. He looks like Mario Melchior used to play centre-back for Chelsea back in the 90s, early noughties, 2001, I'd say.
Coming out of the venue,
yeah.
I met a gentleman. Well, he just accosted me on the Lewis. He said, I know your face. And
oh,
I immediately
shit.
Panicked because I was like, I don't recognise you. Yeah. Who are you and why don't I remember your name? But he said, you don't know me, but I listen to the podcast.
You're joking.
His name was Dara.
Dara, fair play to you, boy.
Yeah, that's it.
Now you got noticed up in the big smoke.
I got noticed, yeah. Laura was pure impressed with me.
That's mental, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Brendan?
The lead singer of Faithless
yeah, Brendan,
is dead.
Brendan is in grieving at the moment because Brendan didn't know the lead singer of Faithless had passed away.
So
sorry,
he is actually
a shock to people. Oh yeah, he's gone.
But they're still playing.
He's now asleep.
They must have just Ray. They must have just gone into his house and took his CD player and said, "Lovely, that's all the songs are on that there now." Should get the light.
No, shut up about it. The ABBA Voyage experience is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, but that's no, shows nowadays. Like again. No, like it is.
Other little small things. Ballina was and Castlebar were told. Everybody was told it's the best place to live.
I saw that.
Yeah.
No, it's the best place to remote work.
Well, it's best.
Yeah, because you'd be fucking left alone. That's right. No one else there.
Yeah, and apparently the worst place is Limerick.
Is it?
Yeah.
Limerick is the worst place.
Worst place.
So what are the
parameters?
Yeah, what are the parameters, of a good place to remote work?
So you and your little family are in a place. How close are you to playgrounds, doctors, hospitals, shops?
And then how, I presume how...
And broadband.
How cheap is the house and how good is the broadband?
How cheap is the house, how good is the broadband?
Yeah, well, the cheapest the houses in Mayo, for sure.
So Mayo is definitely up there as the best place. And then Limerick, apparently, there's 8,000 people in one area of Limerick and they don't even have a playground. Not a swing to their name.
That's the problem now.
Yeah.
That's a problem now, Ray. Did you hear that?
Apparently you need one playground for every 4,000
people. Yeah, because they're on about it above in Dublin as well. You know Dublin? It's over beyond.
Up above.
Know. Yeah. There's a problem there where the developers have bought all the land, we'd say.
Yeah.
So they would have bought a huge patch of land.
Yeah.
And within a development, you have to have a certain amount of green area based on how many people that live there.
Yeah.
So they would have put up, let's say, 80 houses and then they would have left... at 10% of the land there for green area so that kids can go and live their lives.
Yeah.
And now they're putting in an extra 18 houses on that green land.
No way.
And now the residents are going, hang on now, ye greedy developer bastards. The kids need somewhere to go safely play so that they're not running around in the street getting hit by cars. They need to safely have a place where they can go live. And the developers are going, I think I might push this through and I think the government might go with me because they are panicking on a housing crisis. Yeah. And the thing the government want more than anything is the developers to buy them out of the housing prices. Yeah. So you have people before Kendi on one side going, stop letting the developers buy you out of this government. Yeah. And then you have them going, well, we'll get houses for free.
Great thing is, though, you're moving to Ballina. If you don't like it, move to Ballina.
Listen, if that's not an incentive, let's sort it out. I don't know what is.
One of the last things I had.
Jack Sargent loved Ballina. Go on anyway.
Very good point.
You did.
I rang my dentist because I have to get a crown done. How are we for time?
No, it's not time I'm looking at. It's that the light's going down outside and my camera is finally looking normal. For anyone who's on Patreon, I'm so sorry my camera looks like this. It's so hard to manage natural light.
But that's
a disaster.
That's a really great reason to sign up to Patreon.
It is.
So for a fiver a month, you will get to see how hard it is for Mark to manage natural light.
Yeah. Look at the end of the line. It's a nightmare. Go on anyway.
I rang the dentist because I have to get a crown.
Yeah.
I'm buying a crown for myself. For one of my teeth.
No better buy.
Yeah.
The king of dog shite.
Yeah. So when I rang the dentist anyway.
Do you want to hear it? Go down to the king of dog shite, man. Sorry, any chance I get to do that impression, I'll do it any time.
What's it off again?
It's of just a gentleman who was involved in, I think, a licensed fight. I'm almost certain it would have been licensed by the WBA or the WBO.
Oh, Junkie Joe.
And he's calling out his opponent as a means of promoting said fight.
Yeah.
And he, a lot of stuff that he lets go on that video is just brilliant. Because one of them, he says, you go round. Like, you're the king of this, you're the king of that. Oh, no, the other fella says, you're the king of dog shite. And then he replies to the king of dog shite video with just the best line I've ever heard,
which
he incriminates himself in a number of ways, where he incriminates himself by the use of drugs and also attempted murder, because he sends back a video where he goes, that time that you thought that we were doing coke, that was rat poison that tried to kill you. So not only that's rat poison that gave it to you and tried to kill you. So not only does he say, you thought that me and you were engaging in illegal drugs,
yes,
an illegal substance, I also tried to kill you though by giving you rat poison.
Yeah.
So it was a licensed fight. I think Eddie Hearn had it. So don't look it up.
And then the rat poison faced Hedney or something like
that. There's a dirty rat poison bastard. I just love it. Someone subtitled it. You came along. Because you can't hear a word. You came along outside Matt Mary's house in Longford. You cried into a gladdy's face. You're like, what the? I love it so much. And I'm not discriminating against him when I say that. I think it's a brilliant way of settling argument. I think it's brilliant. Okay. And they are well aware that people are watching us.
Yeah, that's good.
So there you go.
Rang the dentist.
I'm hasted. Go on. Just no wonder I'm hasted. Like,
I rang the dentist here in Sligo. And I was talking to a lovely gentleman by the name of Andrew. Yeah. Right? You know, and he says to me, he says, hold on there now until I check when the next available date for you to get your crowned.
Yeah.
And I said, no bother. And he put me on hold. And the hold music was Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
Jesus Christ. Anytime you hear like music, I always think of the girl from Ipanema. That's the perfect hold music.
But I thought this.
But numb is what a for a brilliant dentist. One for a dentist.
For a beautiful dentist. It was a beautiful dentist. And I was sitting there, and all the lyrics seemed to point towards getting dental work done.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the lyrics of Comfortably Numb, thinking from the perspective of it's a dentist that wrote it,
yeah,
then it's very good. But then, like, I suppose you could think of an Undertaker's. They could have AC/DC's Highway to Hell. You know?
Baby, you're all that I want.
And then if it was,
we're in heaven.
If it was,
no, but the dentist could have Linkin Park.
Oh.
I've become so numb. I can feel my face become so numb from this Novocaine. Did you know, Ray?
Sure.
And you can deny this all you want, Ray. You have a ginger head in you, okay?
Yeah.
Gingers apparently have a gene in them that Novocaine or whatever the numbing stuff that they use doesn't work as well on them. So you might go in there and get that crown on you. He'll say, I'm going to give him the same amount of Novocaine that I'd give Kendi with his beautiful, luscious, brown, auburn hair.
Yes.
Same amount of Novocaine I'd give him. Whoa, even as a bald Brendan, I'd give him the same amount of Novocaine.
I'm not ginger.
That's not the point.
I'm not ginger. Look at my hair. It's mousy brown. Don't be looking at me like that, Brendan.
Brendan, it's ginger.
I have a small touch of ginger in my beard. So that means that whatever you're telling me, there's a small touch of it might apply
for
to
the
me.
Sake of your...
Now, my sister, Joanne, she's full ginger.
So Joanne, the Novocaine won't work on Joanne as well as it works on the rest of the population.
Okay.
She'd have to get a double dose. That's true.
Enough to take down an elephant.
She'd have to get enough to take down an elephant.
Yeah. Right?
That's true, though.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah. See. And anyway, you're right about Highway to Hell for Undertakers.
Yeah, I was trying to think of other ones. I was supposed to do my homework on this and think of loads of different ones.
Like what other jobs there could be?
What other songs would go well with businesses? You know, from the perspective of what works as whole music. And the only other one I come up with was like a sperm donation clinic. That could be Superman that whole.
Come, you know, come. Come into my... Is that what it...
Or come as you are.
Wow!
Come as you are. Yeah.
Don't mention Gary Glitter and sperm in the same sentence, Brendan. No. Do you know something, actually? That's a disgrace. You have to come out with that now. Do you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Ray, have you any other old bits that you need to get answered before we hit the diff or what's the crack with...
Have you any other bits?
No, but you're... No. I'm not bringing bits no more, Ray.
Oh.
Because I don't want, I'm not, any bits I bring is argumentative bits. I'm not doing it, Ray.
Right.
I want you to be the prick from now on. That's what we're doing.
We're switching roles. So we're switching box rooms.
Yeah,
and switching roles.
Yeah.
So when we arrive in 10 episodes time, we arrive in our new spot. Yeah. We're going to switch roles and see how it goes.
Yeah, and I'm going to be nice.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm going to have to think about it.
What do you do that makes you the nice one? What
I don't
do you think
know.
You do?
I didn't set out to be the nice one.
Yeah. No, no, I know. I mean, that's definitely
you
true.
You know, we didn't ever sit down and say, let's be good cop, bad cop.
And you switch chairs and see if they can make a difference.
I wonder if we switch chairs.
Well, let's record the next episode in opposite spots.
Hang on. Let's switch chairs right now and I'd see what happens. Just for a second is all now. Come on.
Oh, sorry. The camera's going mad. Is this?
Just for one sec now, I want to switch chairs. Okay, perfect. Jeez, you're awful small. Okay. So you tell me...
Oh my God, this is really weird.
Tell me something that might outrage me.
What?
Just say to me, what do you think of the housing crisis? You say that.
Oh yeah, so the whole thing about the... you know the 80% thing they said was coming from Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
So that 80% of migrants they said was coming from Northern Ireland. That was like said in such a way where we have data on that. Yeah. And it turned out they had no data. It was just, we have a feeling that about 80%, it was a call. Do you know, it's about 80%.
Sound like you. You're supposed to sound, I'm supposed to come back and go, why don't you just leave the government alone?
Sorry.
You're such an idiot, like you can't even do it. I'm sitting in your seat, I'm still raging. I'm still raging, Ray, but I'm raging at you. I'm supposed to be me.
Oh, sorry.
I'm supposed to be you,
and I'm supposed to be you.
So you tell me what you say. Did you hear about all these people coming down from the UK because they're going to send them to Rwanda?
Yeah.
And you say that to me.
Yeah.
And then I say, why don't you just leave the government alone? Don't ask any questions ever.
Well, why don't you? Normally, I'd bring something to you. So you have to bring something that happened in your week to me. And then I react badly.
Yes.
Bless you. Anything? No. Anything happened to you during the week?
No. Okay, so you're going to try and be me, is it?
Yeah, I go try and be you.
I guess a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me think. But I'll be you. I'll come with a thing like that you would come with to me.
Yeah.
Sean, I was in the house earlier on this week. And I had said to him, will you make sure that you put away the milk and cornflakes?
Yeah.
And he didn't do it, Ray. He didn't do it, Mark, Kendi.
Right. Don't talk to me about Sean O'Reilly. I swear to God, don't talk to me about Sean O'Reilly. I was playing with him on Sunday night and he left two drumsticks on top of my bass amp. Two of them, and he wouldn't move them. He refused. I give up.
You're shite at being me.
I'm shy.
What you're supposed to do in that situation is...
What's the Mark way?
What you would do is you would say like, Ray, don't talk to me about cornflakes, right?
Yeah.
I was down the town and there was young people.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with Sean. Double down on Sean there, which is making me think you do have a problem with him in cornflakes, Ray.
He doesn't eat cornflakes, he eats porridge.
Ah, sick.
Yeah.
That's what my daughter eats as well, actually.
Porridge with
okay, let's switch back before the end of this.
Okay.
You're kind of missing the edge. Maybe you're just not miserable enough.
You know? You can't.
Maybe you're just not as miserable.
There isn't as much miserability.
No, and it does worry me. I know not that. I mean, my worry when it comes to me is that I did listen back. I have been listening back to episodes, and I'm thinking, sure, Mark, I wouldn't like you either. You know
Mark,
what I mean?
That was a really, really unsettling experience.
You didn't like that at all.
It's a place I shouldn't ever sit.
Over here, you don't like it.
It just really, it's just not the way. Well, anyway, that was
doesn't matter anyway. So look, it was an experiment. And it was. Look, you're going to have to come outside your comfort zone because we won't be in here for very long.
Okay, I'll get used to that.
Maybe we won't. You know,
that's episode 242.
It is.
Yeah, we really missed a trick last week.
Why?
2 for 1. We should have done 2 episodes.
Oh, that would have really jumped up the listenership now if we had, if we had made a shite joke about 2 for 1. You're right, Ray.
Yeah, I think people are disappointed.
Chase, people would have really responded to that
now. Yeah, they would have, yeah. So I have to go do a school show in the Hawkswell.
Yeah, and I have to go get ready for, a week of gigging and having the crack. Don't forget.
You have to change your socks.
I've changed my socks. Don't forget, every Wednesday night I'm in Maeve's, the finest pub in the town. And I'm also there this Friday after the crack. So episode's out Thursday. If you're from Sligo and you're in Sligo, there's a festival on in the car park for the weekend.
Sligo County Council.
Gavin festival. James is on Friday night. Then I'm on straight after him inside Maeve's. All they do is turn around and walk into the pub. So we'd see you there. Fair play to Maeve's and the Garvork for sponsoring us. Fair play to Brendan flicking the keys clean off himself.
Yes. Thank you, Brendan.
And Ray, fair play to me. Good luck.
Good luck.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge.